Lamentations. We're going to read the first chapter here, and then I'm going to talk to you a little bit about some stuff this morning. So Lamentations, chapter number 1. Bible says, "How doth the city sit solitary that was full of people? How is she become as a widow? She that was great among the nations and princess among the provinces, how is she become tributary? She weepeth sore in the night, and her tears are on her cheeks. Among all her lovers, she hath none to comfort her. All her friends have dealt treacherously with her. They are become her enemies. Judah is gone into captivity because of affliction, and because of great servitude she dwelleth among the heathen. She findeth no rest. All her persecutors overtook her between the straits. The ways of Zion do mourn, because none come to the solemn feast. All her gates are desolate. Her priests sigh. Her virgins are afflicted, and she is in bitterness. Her adversaries are the chief. Her enemies prosper, for the Lord hath afflicted her for the multitude of her transgressions. Her children are gone into captivity before the enemy. And from the daughter of Zion all her beauty is departed. Her princes are become like harts that find no pasture, and they are gone without strength before the pursuer. Jerusalem is Jerusalem remembered in the days of her affliction and of her miseries, all her pleasant things that she had in the days of old, when her people fell into the hand of the enemy and none did help her. The adversaries saw her and did mock at her Sabbaths. Jerusalem hath grievously sinned, therefore she is removed. All that honored her despise her, because they have seen her nakedness. Yea, she sigheth and turneth backwards. Her filthiness is in her skirt. She remembereth not her last end. Therefore she came down wonderfully. She had no comforter. O Lord, behold my affliction, for the enemy hath magnified himself. The adversary hath spread out his hand upon all her pleasant things, for she hath seen that the heathen entered into her sanctuary, whom thou didst command that they should not enter into thy congregation. All her people sigh, they seek bread, they have given their pleasant things for meat to relieve the soul. See, O Lord, and consider, for I am becoming vile. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold, and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. From above hath he sent fire into my bones, and it prevaileth against him. He hath spread a net for my feet, he hath turned me back. He hath made me desolate and faint all the day. The yoke of my transgressions is bound by his hand. They are wreathed and come up upon my neck. He hath made my strength to fall. The Lord hath delivered me into their hands, from whom I am not able to rise up. The Lord hath trodden under foot all my mighty men in the midst of me. He hath called an assembly against me to crush my young men. The Lord hath trodden the virgin, the daughter of Judah, as in a winepress. For these things I weep. Mine eye runneth down with water, because the comforter that should relieve my soul is far from me. My children are desolate because the enemy prevailed. Zion spreadeth forth her hands, and there is none to comfort her. The Lord hath commanded concerning Jacob that his adversaries should be round about him. Jerusalem is as a minstrel's woman among them. The Lord is righteous, for I have rebelled against his commandment. Hear, I pray you, all people, and behold my sorrow. My virgins and my young men are gone into captivity. I called for my lovers, but they deceived me. My priests and mine elders gave up the ghost in the city, while they sought their meat to relieve their souls. Behold, O Lord, for I am in distress. My bowels are troubled. Mine heart is turned within me, for I have grievously rebelled. Abroad the sword bereaveth. At home there is as death. They have heard that I sigh. There is none to comfort me. All mine enemies have heard of my trouble. They are glad that thou hast done it. Thou wilt bring the day that thou hast called, and they shall be like unto me. Let all their wickedness come before thee, and do unto them as thou hast done unto me for all my transgressions. For my sighs are many, and my heart is faint." Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for your love for us this morning. Just thank you for the gifts that you give us. And the one gift in particular we're going to talk about this morning. And Lord, we thank you for that. And Father, I pray that you would help every Sunday school class this morning, help the young people as they're in their classes. God, I pray that you just bless them, be with them. Lord, I pray if one's here that's not saved, that they would be saved before it's too late, Lord. And Lord, we love you. We thank you for loving us. Thank you for these good people here. And Lord, I pray that you'd meet their needs. And Lord, I prayed for them this week. And Lord, I know some heartaches, but Lord, there's many that will never be mentioned. And Lord, I pray for those unspoken things. And I pray that you just meet according to your perfect will. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the things that God has given us, and I want you to take your Bible, we're going to go over to the book of John, chapter number, let's go to John chapter number 14. One of the things that God has given us, hold your place there in Lamentations, I'm sorry, unless you've already lost it. But John chapter number 14, you know, this is kind of a comforting chapter. You know, it starts out, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions," and so on and so forth. And but in verse number 16, John chapter number 14, verse number 16, Bible says, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth." Now that's very interesting. "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not." Isn't that so true? This is a side note. Isn't that so true? We only, most Americans especially, they only believe what they can see. "Well, I don't believe in God, I can't see him." Well, that's so intellectually retarded. Okay? Stupid, thank you. That's really the word I was going to say. And that's stupid. I believe in oxygen, but I don't see oxygen. Okay? But oxygen keeps me alive. And in the same way, I believe in God. Do I see God? No. Do I see the effects of God? Yes, I see the effects of oxygen too, but I don't see it. It's all around us, but I don't see it. God's everywhere, but we just don't see him. But without oxygen, I die. You know, without God, I die. Okay, and so that is, anyway, that's retarded. But the Bible says the world cannot receive because it seeth him not. Okay, they don't understand the Holy Ghost that lives inside of me. They don't see it. Well, what are you talking about? That's weird. Well, okay, maybe I'm weird, all right? "Neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also." Okay? So one of the best gifts that God gives us is the Holy Ghost. It's the comforter that comes. Verse number 26. "But the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." Okay? So we have here the comforter. And that's what basically I'm going to talk about this morning, is comfort. And that is one of the primary, I believe there's probably two primary things that the Holy Ghost does for us. And it is, one of them is comfort. One of them is comfort. And that's an amazing thing. If you'll go back to the book of Lamentations, there's one thing in the first chapter of Lamentations that we're going to look at here this morning. If you'll look at verse number 2 right off the bat, Lamentations chapter number 1. It's interesting. You know, comfort comes in many ways in life. Do you ever think about that? We get comforted because of people that we're around. And that is very true. In Genesis chapter number, I believe it's chapter number 5, where it talks about Noah. The Bible talks about Noah. I have it written down here. The Bible says, "And he called his name Noah, saying, This same shall comfort us concerning our work and the toil of our hands, because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed." People bring us comfort. It's nice having, you know, family brings us comfort. Our church family brings us comfort. You know, when you're going through a hard time, you know who you want? You want somebody to be there to comfort you, okay? So people bring us comfort, all right? And that's a blessing. That's a huge thing. You know, after the death of Isaac's mother, okay, the Bible says he took Rebekah, his wife, and was comforted, okay? So people do bring us comfort in life. You know, this is kind of funny. I told my wife this last night. Now, most of you will probably actually like this, but you know what else brings us comfort? Is food. And that's biblical. I'm not kidding, okay? Genesis chapter 18, verse 5. "And I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on." Judges chapter 19, verse 5. "And it came to pass on the fourth day, when they rose early in the morning, that he rose up to depart. And the damsel's father said unto his son-in-law, Comfort thine heart with a morsel of bread." Isn't that cool? So now you have a biblical excuse. Well, I'm comforting myself. You know, if it's whatever it is, chocolate, whatever you want. You know, it's just a comfort food. Okay, so hey, just say you learned something in Sunday school, okay? It's comfort, all right? But I probably lost everybody right there. But one of the things that God gives us through his Holy Spirit is comfort. Look at Lamentations chapter number 1, verse number 2. Lamentations 1, verse 2. The Bible says, "She weepeth sore in the night, and her tears are on her cheeks. Among all her lovers, she hath none to comfort her." Okay? Look at Lamentations chapter 1, verse 9. The Bible says, her filthiness is in her skirts. She remembereth not her last end. Therefore she came down wonderfully. She had no comforter. O Lord, behold my affliction, for the enemy hath magnified himself. Look at verse number 16. For these things I weep, mine eye runneth down with water, because the comforter that should relieve my soul is far from me. My children are desolate because the enemy prevaileth. Look at verse number 17. Zion spreadeth forth her hands, and there is none to comfort her. Isn't that interesting? And what I'm going to talk about this morning, the reason I brought a board with me, I hope everybody can see this, is, you know, the Holy Spirit has probably basically two jobs. So we're going to put the Holy Spirit here. Don't mind my writing, okay? The Holy Spirit... Okay, and he basically has two jobs. And one of his jobs, as we've just seen, we saw in John chapter 14, one of his jobs, and he goes by this title, that's what we always want to call him this, is the comforter. So one of his jobs is to comfort us, okay? So that's a blessing. That's a huge part of the Holy Spirit. That's his job. But go back to John chapter number 14. John chapter number 14, I want to show you something else. That's not the Holy Spirit's only job. And I think most of you know where I'm going, probably know where I'm going with this. Look at John chapter number 14, verse number 17. The Bible says, even the Spirit of truth, this is talking about the Holy Spirit, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Look at verse number 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. He'll teach you all things and bring into your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. You know what the other job of the Holy Spirit? Yes, he is the Comforter, but the other job of the Holy Spirit is to bring conviction. Okay? So the Holy Spirit says, okay, I am your comforter, but the Holy Spirit is also the one inside that says, when you're doing something wrong or when I'm doing something wrong, he's the one that brings conviction. He's the one that, like John chapter 14, verse number, I believe is 27, he says, when he's going to remind you of the things that I have said unto you. That's what the verse says. Well, that's the Holy Word of God. So he's going to remind me, hey, what about this? What about that? You shouldn't be doing this. Well, that's the conviction part of the Holy Spirit. Now, you know, the Bible says in Lamentations chapter number 1 that there was no comforter. And I want to talk to you just about this briefly this morning. You know, when there is no comforter, a lot of times there is no conviction. Okay? Now, I use the visual because I hope you can kind of, I hope to illustrate this a little bit this morning. But, you know, but year after year after year, Israel said, we don't want the conviction. We don't want the conviction. We don't want the Holy Spirit telling us that we shouldn't be doing this, that we shouldn't have false gods, that we shouldn't be doing all the sinful things that we're doing. So they said, Holy Spirit, you need to be quiet with the conviction. We're going to go do what we want to do. And then, when the children of Israel left the promised land because they have been taken into captivity. So you could say essentially that they are leaving where God wants them to be. Am I right on that? Okay. God wants them to be in the promised land. God wants them to be where they should be. So when they leave that, the Bible tells us that they had no comforter. They had no comforter. You know, and sometimes when we think, well, the Holy Spirit of God, his job is to comfort us. Yes, but his job is also to convict us. Well, I don't like the conviction, but I like the comfort. You can't have both, okay? If you're going to have the Holy Spirit live inside of you and you're going to let the Holy Spirit speak to you, then the Holy Spirit is going to speak to you, whether it be comfort or conviction. You can't say, well, Holy Spirit, you need to be quiet right here, but you can go ahead and comfort me, okay? A lot of people, in the last three I dealt with it in the youth hour. I've dealt with it in soul winning in the last week. And I dealt with it with another young person three different times in the last 3 weeks. And I guess maybe that's why it's on my heart. That people have come to me or they've said, "Brother Chad, I don't know if I'm saved. I don't know if I'm saved." Well, you know, one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit is to say, when I get saved, I have the earnest of the Spirit within me. And you know what the earnest is? The earnest is a down payment, basically. If you're going to go buy something, an earnest is something, well, you know, let's say I'm going to Pennsylvania to buy something. Well, when I went to Pennsylvania to buy my truck, I gave the guy $100 earnest. And that's basically said, you hold this truck for me until I get there. Okay, and that's what an earnest is. Well, the Holy Spirit is the earnest of our salvation. So when we get saved, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of me, and that Holy Spirit is a part of me. You know, one reason you know that you will never go to hell if you've been saved is because God won't send, if the Holy Spirit's inside of you and can never leave you, God won't send a part of himself to hell. Does that make sense? Okay, so the Holy Spirit says, I'm here all the time. Now, the Bible also says in 1 Thessalonians that you can grieve the Holy Spirit, and you can quench the Holy Spirit in 1 Thessalonians. And you know what that is? You're telling the Holy Spirit to be quiet. Okay? And you're telling him, I don't want to hear your voice. All right? But when you tell him that you don't want to hear his voice, not only does the conviction voice grow quieter, but the comfort voice grows quieter. And a lot of times when people, well, Brother Chad, I just don't know if I'm saved or not. The reason is, okay, when they get saved, the Holy Spirit lives inside of them. And when they start sinning, you can't stay right with God and have sin in your life. It's impossible. So you start slowly drawing away from the Holy Spirit of God. So the farther I get from the Holy Spirit of God, the easier it is for me to sin because the convicting voice of the Holy Spirit, I'm farther away from. Does that make sense? Okay? But also, what am I also farther away from? The comforting voice. And I can't have one of them without the other. Okay? So the farther I get away from God, the farther that voice that's inside of me that says, you're saved. You're a child of God. You're mine. Yeah, I don't hear the voice that says, you shouldn't be watching that on TV, or you shouldn't be listening to that music, or you shouldn't have that bad attitude. Yeah, maybe I don't hear that, and I feel pretty good in life, because my flesh wants to do what my flesh wants to do, but at the same time, my heart inside starts saying, hey, are you saved? Are you even a Christian? Now, did the Holy Spirit ever leave me? But his voice left me. You know, one of the loneliest places in the Christian life is when heaven's quiet. And that's where the children of Israel are right now. You know, they are saying, where's my comforter? Where's the person to comfort me? The one that should be comforting is far from me. How many times? I mean, what, seven times? It talks about the comforter in Lamentations chapter 1. You know what the children of Israel did? They said, we don't want this. But then they get all the way over here in captivity in the land of Babylon, and judgment starts coming, and they're like, man, where's my comforter? Where is he? Where is he? I need him right now. Where is he? He's where you left him. Now, did he ever really leave you? No. Holy Spirit can't leave you. But his voice, as we see here, his voice can grow so quiet that you don't even know that you're saved anymore. Now, I think a lot of people are saved. I believe based on the scripture that a lot of church people aren't even saved. Many shall say in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not cast out, you know? And he said, depart from me, I never knew you. So I don't believe there's, personally, but I can't see the heart. You know who tells you if you're saved or not? Well, Brother Chad, I don't hear that reassuring, comforting voice. One of two things needs to happen. You need to get back here and say, okay, what are you convicting me about? I need to get this right. And when you get all that right, you know what's amazing is the Holy Spirit will say, hey, I'm still here. You're saved. You're mine. I live inside of you. But when we start shutting down the Holy Spirit of God in our conviction, he automatically becomes quieter in the comfort. You know, it's nice. You know, everybody, you know, who does most funerals? Pastors do most funerals. Okay? You know why pastors do most funerals? Well, there's several reasons, I guess. Probably they're supposed to. I don't know. Maybe it's, I don't know the legalities of it. But you know why? Because it's a man that's closer to God. We can go to, I've got it written down here. I can take you to a verse that talks about the man of God. It basically talks about the man of God. I don't know if I'll be able to find it. But it talks about the man of God bringing comfort. Because we're a child of God, we can bring comfort to those that have no comfort. Okay? And that's true. The children of God can bring comfort to those who have no comfort because we know the comforter. We know where true comfort comes from. You know, some people, you know, I talked about food. That's a real thing. And I was kind of making light of it. But some people turn to not just food, but fleshly appetites. We could probably more appropriately call it that. You know, they turn to alcohol for comfort. Well, I'm just going to comfort myself with alcohol. No, they're not really comforting themselves with alcohol. They're just trying to forget everything. Or drugs or whatever it could be. That's their comfort. Well, I just can't quit smoking. It's a comfort thing to me. No, it's messing with their mind more than anything. The Bible says, and be not drunk with wine. This is a whole, I mean, you can go every avenue on this. The Bible says, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Do you ever think about that? Be not drunk with wine. So maybe instead of the Spirit that the Bible says to be filled with to get their comfort, they're going to alcohol to get the comfort that the Holy Spirit should be giving them. Okay? And it's a mind thing. It's a mind. The Holy Spirit should have control of our minds. But so many times he doesn't. And then we get way over here and something catastrophic happens in our life and we feel helpless, we feel alone because we don't have the... Well, where's... God told us he would comfort us in our time of trials. He will. If you'll let him. But we won't let him. What do you mean, Brother Chad? I would let him if he would... I would let the Holy Spirit comfort me if he would... Oh, he will. But when he comforts you, he's going to say, it's okay. I'm here. You're my child. But at the same time, he's also going to say, but you need to get this right. And that's what we don't want. That's what I don't want. I'm just being frank with you this morning. I don't like the convicting voice of the Holy Spirit. Nobody does. All right? But you can't tell him to be quiet time after time after time after time. Preacher just referenced this, I think, in a message, not a couple messages ago, briefly referenced this. But you can't tell him time after time after time to be quiet and get farther and farther and farther and farther away from him and still expect to get the same comfort in your heart that you would if you were right with God. It's impossible. You can't do it. And you know what? The children of Israel, they said they're right now in the land of captivity. And Jeremiah is their spokesman at this point, and he says, it's lamentations. They're crying about this. Okay? Verse number two in Lamentations chapter 1. She weepeth, but there's none to comfort her. Isn't that sad? I mean, yeah, we all turn to other people or to, you know, whatever to comfort us in life. But the only one that can bring true comfort is the Holy Spirit of God. Do you want comfort in a time of life? Let me just ask you. You know, we're all going to go through things. You've all gone through things that are bad things in life. It's nice to have your friends come. It's nice to, you know, maybe you're standing at a casket and I've honestly never had to experience. I mean, I've lost all my grandparents and stuff like that, but I've never had to been the one to stand at the casket. And you've got a line of people coming down and they, you know, we're praying for you. Well, that is kind of comforting. But they're not there at night when you lay on your pillow and you cry and all that stuff. And you can only eat so much food. Sorry, that was... So what do you do at night when you're by yourself and the people, you know, we all forget. You know, we all forget. You know, Dave and Ashley, they're still coping with the flood thing. You know, the rest of Americans, we've pretty much forgot about it. You know, we've won. You know, yeah, we sent a group down to help them and comfort them for, you know, a week. But they're still rebuilding. Months later, they're still rebuilding. Well, in the very same sense, you know, when you lose a loved one or something catastrophic happens in your life or you've got a child that, you know, goes away, whatever it might be, and you're by yourself and no one's there to comfort you, or you've strayed away from God and there is no comforter, there's only one person that can comfort you at that point, and that's the Holy Spirit of God. But you got to, Brother Chad, I can't hear him. I know he lives inside of me, but I can't hear him. Well, how many times have you told him to shut up? Sorry for my speech. But some of us are worse than that when we converse with the Holy Spirit of God. Hey, that's a part of God that lives. How would you like to, a part of God that lives inside of you, and you sit down in front of your computer screen, and he sees everything that you see, and you and I, we subject him to all that stuff. You know what we're doing? Be quiet. Because he's in there telling you, I don't want to look at this. You're making me look at something I don't want to look at. You're making me listen to something I don't want to listen to. Be quiet. Be quiet. Be quiet. And it grows quieter and quieter and quieter, and then... life hits. Oh God, where are you? God, please help me. Where are you? I don't hear nothing. Where are you? And that's a very lonely place in life when heaven's quiet. I'd rather hear the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God and live right here, just the same way it was when I got saved. I want to live here. Because I don't want the Holy Spirit to, I don't want there to be anything between me and the Holy Spirit. You know, the Romans chapter 8, Bible talks about the Holy Spirit maketh intercessions for us with groanings that can't be uttered. What do you do when you don't know how to pray? What do you do when you don't know how to pray? There's situations in life, it's like, God, I don't even know how to pray. We've got things that we want to happen, but maybe that's not the best thing to happen. And the Bible says the Holy Spirit will make intercession for us. He'll pray to God for you when you can't pray to God for yourself. But what if you've told him to be quiet so many times? And you're not even listening, and I'm not even listening to the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God. And if I'm not listening to the conviction, I can't hear the comfort. You know, folks, all of us in life, we're going to need those times. We're going to need those times when you need comfort that your family can't give you. And you're going to need comfort that your church family can't give you. And you're going to need comfort that fleshly appetites can't satisfy. And then and only then will the Holy Spirit be able to help you. But are you telling him to be quiet all the time? Am I telling him to be quiet all the time? What's he spoke? You know, when was the last time you're standing at your, you're standing at your pew and the Holy Spirit tells you to do something and you won't do anything about it. And then you wonder why everything's quiet. You know why so many people hate silence? Silence makes people uncomfortable. Say something, Bro Chad. Just say something. It does. Silence makes people uncomfortable. They got to have, you know, They go to sleep with music. They got to have some kind of noise. Personally, I think a lot of it is they're trying to drown out something that could be speaking to their heart. Most guys in here, you can work without earbuds in. That is possible. You don't see anybody anymore. They're always listening to something constantly. I honestly don't. I work completely silent. I mean, you get in a truck with me, you'd think I don't like you. I'll drive for hours and I don't say nothing, which wasn't real good for a dating relationship. I mean, they kind of want you to talk to them, but kind of took me a little bit to learn that part. Do what? They're narrow-minded. But you know what? You know what the Holy Spirit wants you to talk? The Holy Spirit wants to converse with you. But if you don't converse with the Holy Spirit and you don't listen to him, he'll be quiet. Quench. You're quenching him. You know what that means? It's like taking a candle. Psst. And when you put out the candle, it doesn't mean that the candle's not there, but it provides no light and it provides no heat. No power is being produced from that candle when you quench it. The candle's still there, but no power is being produced when you quench it. It must be lit to be producing power. That's a good thought. I might preach a message on that. That was just kind of a random thing, but the Holy Spirit. Are you quenching him? If so, yeah, you won't have the comfort. Or are you listening to the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God? Don't be like Israel, because when you get to that spot, you're going to wish you had him there with you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for that Holy Spirit conviction. God, help me to not quench the Spirit of God. And Lord, I pray that you would just help us all to listen. And Lord, thank you for that comfort that you bring. And we'll give you the praise and glory for everything that's done today. In Jesus' name, amen.